Welcome to Enter the Crucible.
Welcome to episode 4 of Enter the Crucible. I am one of your co-hosts, Matthew, a.k.a. Mayhew. I am joined by...
This is Mike. I play Krix and Legion.
This is Clint. Someone told me I played Trolls once, so I'm going with that.
This is John Carter. Play Krix and Gators.
Pirate Captain. I play Signar and Gunbjorn.
This is Adam. I play Krix, Kador, and Retribution.
And Matt, and I guess I play Circle for right now. We'll call it that.
All right, we have a new addition to the cast, Mr. Stewart. Can you please introduce us to you and your accomplishments in the game? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
good. Well, then we're done and we're going to go on.
I don't know what else.
Kind of awkward.
I've been playing War Machine since right before Mark II came out. Started with Krix, jumped to Kador for a little while, jumped to Retribution for a little while, and right now I'm kind of on a Krix kick for the most part. They're my main love. All right, fine. Other than that, mostly played in a lot of Crucibles, the locals, big event here.
Yeah, you've made both Crucibles. You made top table of Crucible 2 against Brian White.
Yeah, that was a disappointing game for me. But no, I've done well with Crucible.
All right, so we have a quick, what are we working on? Mike, you have something that you're working on right now?
Yeah, a little bit on Legion with Thagrosh 1. There's a no-quarter tier list for him that is really heavy focused.
That's ridiculous?
I don't know if it's ridiculous, but it's heavily focused on the Beastmistress, and so there's an opportunity to get a lot of free lessers and advanced deployment in that list. So just trying to figure out the right balance of lessers to make that list work, as well as to figure out how many spawning vessels to really bring. Right now the list has 3, so we'll see how that goes.
What was the calculation of free points we got off that?
14, I believe?
Yeah, you can get up about 14 free points worth of lesser war beasts pretty quickly. With each of the beast mistresses, you get a free lesser, so that's 6 points right out the gate, or 8 points if you keep 4 beast mistresses. And then with the free corpse tokens on the spawning vessels, you can very quickly spawn a few extra.
Well, we were worried about spawning vessels not being that good.
Right.
So they needed a little boost there.
I like your recent realization that they're 3 points and the rage you felt over that.
Yeah. I don't play Legion, so I was like, yeah, those things are what, 5 points, 6 points? No, 3 for the full thing, 2 for men. Like, what?
Says
are
the
kidding?
Guy who has necrosurgeons in every
yeah.
list.
Yeah, oh, necrosurgeons are amazing.
And it's just like,
but
why?
They're not war beasts that join your battle group.
It always enrages me that they can just make a new guy when you kill him.
What, last call?
Yeah, that last call.
Yeah. Well, you have to have the pot filled up by then, so there's a bit of an art and science.
That's
and
so hard when you can just kill
your making sure you keep it ready to go with 3 corpse tokens on.
Oh, no, how am I supposed to fill up the pot if I have a couple of guys die during that turn, too, as well? And it's so hard.
Yeah, very
I hate the pot so much.
So there might be a list with 3 pots in it coming soon, so we'll see what happens.
Pot's a hell of a drug.
Thank you, mate.
You're welcome. So, Matt, you have something that you would like to talk about.
Oh, well, like
so
I said,
I've been told.
I play Circle for right now, so I'm trying to put together a Kruger list that just fulfills the my army looks better than your army, you know, criteria. Sorry, I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to look straight ahead and not move at all. So I bought a Gnarlhorn Satyr to turn into a Riphorn Satyr because I think the Riphorn Satyr, which I'm looking at right now, my tablet looks really, really stupid. So, and I have one in my Kruger list. So, I'm going to work on that and just work on some conversions because apparently people who play War Machine are frightened to death of conversions. So, I'm going to try to make a pretty cool army.
Okay, as long as you don't have like 2 flags that have intellectual property on it. Like
that was going to be part of my Riphorn, is he was going to have like a Space Marine like right in the back of him. that was going to be part of it.
You should put like a Space Wolf Thunderwolf head on him.
Yeah, I'll put a Thunderwolf head on him.
That'll make sense.
And what else? And then like some Battletech, like Warhammer arms, like for his plasma cannons, because Reborns have plasma cannons.
I think you should just give him like UFC shorts that has multiple different logos of companies that is your sponsor.
Yeah, like Condom Depot.
Yeah, he could be sponsored by Condom Depot and
blowout cards. Yep.
And Monster Energy Drink.
Sprawl.
Dynamic Fastener.
Yes.
Dynamic Fastener is the best one.
And we've just lost everybody who doesn't watch UFC.
We all watch UFC because we're men.
And we like watching sweaty guys roll around hugging.
Exactly.
You brought it up.
And heavy breathing.
This was very much a don't ask, don't tell podcast.
What?
I don't know.
I like anyway. The end of every segment so far. It's just been either a terrible joke or just some homoerotic comment. And on to the next segment. All right.
So
that's
the next
what I'm working on. I'm working on homoerotic circle, apparently.
We all have our goals.
So circle.
Quit.
So, Clint.
Yes?
We should be at this time again when we come to you and get the important information that we need. From
Are we still doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
The last one was a rousing success.
I know.
Was it arousing?
It was so successful, rousing. I don't even remember what you talked
there
about.
There are people who have come to me in tears, like in literal tears, I assume, because that podcast hasn't aired yet, but has come to me in literal tears of how much that helped them. And if we stop now, you are a disservice to the community.
For all the people playing.
The other problem we have is Pirate Captain has yet to sit down with Mayhew and discuss the actual definition of literal.
which needs to happen, like, right literally now. Oh, yeah, so this week in Clint's Caster Corner, Clint's Cliff Notes Casters of,
you don't even
of
know
Corners of Cliffs.
It'll be different every time. Just accept it.
Yes, it will be.
There's a lot of C's in there.
So, a lot of people have been very annoyed by the Miserable Meat Mountain that people have been playing recently, and everybody, including myself, loves to play it. That's a troll player. So, I learned recently that that list is very beatable. One, if you have Krix, then it's almost an auto win. Two, all you got to do to beat Gristle and to kill her is bring Typhon. If you have Typhon and you have two sprays and you have a dude, you have a Cruelstone Bearer who is in melee with Typhon, who I learned has Gunfighter, will spray the Cruelstone Bearer and will kill the Cruelstone Bearer. But, burr. Did I say burr?
Yeah.
Burr. 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 Let's get some burrs. Burr. He will spray the Cruelstone Bearer, and the Cruelstone Bearer, of course, will pass his tough check. So that was two sprays on Gristle, blew her up. Fun. Meat Mountain is totally...
Is that the name of the Trollkin beer, is Cruelstone Bearer?
Cruelstone Bearer, yeah. Oh my god, Cruelstone Bearer.
Wasn't that also a game where Tough failed you? Like... By passing a tough roll, he lost.
Yeah, yeah. The Cruelstone Bearer had.
I was stuck on a joke, so I just kind of my mind was distracted.
Ooh, can't wait to say it.
Oh, it's going to happen! It's going to happen so much.
Yeah,
we have to live with this clown.
Yes,
I don't.
Not true.
Have to live with him. But yeah, that's it. Just bring Typhon.
Yeah, that's all that happened.
That's all that happened that game.
Playing against Gristle, bring Typhon.
Yeah,
Typhon, not Titan.
Typhon. You can bring a Titan too.
You're playing Titanfall. It's on my mind. Sorry.
That's a good game.
Your Legion opponent not pulling his hair out trying to actually kill anything in your army didn't come up either.
Yeah, but that was inconsequential. Being up by like 40 army points was inconsequential when Typhon's on the board.
A loss is still a loss.
Yeah, loss is still a loss.
When Typhon was like the only thing left on the board.
True. It was the only. Well, yeah,
Typhon
your caster
really is hideous. So he had a better looking armor.
Yeah, but he was painted decently, so at least he looked better than...
I hate that model.
Well, hate for the sake of
hate.
No,
it's just not good.
Me.
It's not a good model.
Where
my
the
brothers,
second model of this podcast that you've hated?
My brother's uncle's sister's father's...
Former roommate
was the modeler for Typhon, so And he does listen to the podcast. But he won't listen to this one for like another month, so we're good.
going to be like, why did I get this message from you just saying I'm sorry? And that guy's an ass.
Or maybe you could just edit it and all of a sudden I come back with robot voice talking about how much I love freaking Typhon.
Typhon is the best model ever. Privateer Press can do no wrong.
I'll just do the horrible edit from things other things you've said.
Yes. We'll just mash those up.
All right, so we have a matchup this week as per our format.
Do we?
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing that?
No, we got to talk about my crushing victory over you.
Okay, go on.
That was... I think by now people have definitely seen the Cray versus whatever person you put there on the table.
Oh, yes.
It didn't matter.
I don't pay attention to those details. But I don't...
Sorsha 2.
I don't know what it is, but I know the sound it makes when it dies.
I think everybody could see that no point was ever really in danger. Entirely in control at all time, all part of the plan.
You planned to go down to
fair, I believe I said during our commentary that you are not dangerous until you've lost 30 out of your 50 points. That's when you start playing.
It's kind of a goal.
Do you know how much undue stress it causes me as a player to play against you sometimes? I'm like, okay, it's okay, so only Cray's left. And I have like two Cav that can charge Cray. I'm still probably going to lose this game.
I'm still going to lose this game.
Why does he have parry?
I think when I offered to concede just to, you know, mess with your head before killing you. Was all part of the plan there.
I will always be grateful for you preparing me mentally for the, like, normal people. So, if you guys watched the video, I killed lots and lots of things, which Stuart's shaking his head because he hasn't watched the video. I killed lots and lots of things. I didn't kill the Minuteman that was staring me right in the face, being like, you know what, I don't have to swing more times on this. I'm going to kill Cray anyway. I have two Steelhead Cav. All I have to do is charge and kill him, and then I win the game, and I don't have to worry anymore. So I left the Minuteman foolishly right in combat with him.
I think you're dismissing one of the all-stars of the game.
The danger card?
Which would be the danger card.
Yeah,
the
Goblin Tinker. Danger card! That's referring to the Goblin Tinker who...
selflessly, after executing that Steelhead Halberdier, withstood the barrage that was intended for Cray. He held the line.
Yeah, Cosmic Joe was like, I'm gonna kill that danger cart. While hitting the danger cart harder than I thought it was.
And by danger cart, we mean Goblin Tinker.
Yes.
With a sign that says danger cart on the side. For those of you who watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Referencing
yes, that. We're dumb. And yes, that goblin is painted red.
Where's that farm? So yeah, that was a very interesting game. I mean, I'm happy that... I didn't die on turn two, which can often be the case in that particular matchup.
He tried. He tried really hard.
I looked at it, and I think I was still out even after the bump. But it was one of those things where you moved it.
That's on me. I know we talked about it earlier, and I think you guys are kind of right. Like, that table, because we've actually moved location, is kind of higher than the table we normally play on. So I didn't want to kind of, like, move around with all the equipment we have and... whatever, all part of the plan. Just get in there and then lose my colossal to two cavalry models. I think it took two
and Sorsha with a quad iron.
Epic Sorsha's feet.
Yeah, was it 28 points of damage in one shot?
Yeah, in
one swing. Yes, which is one of my favorite things to do in this game.
So retarded.
Oh. Yeah, that was a very interesting game. And it's like when you asked me, did you check if Gorman's within an inch of Sorsha? I'm like, I didn't.
You could have.
Something's going to happen. I hate when you ask me leading questions like that.
On to the matchup?
On to the matchup. So today...
Stuart just pulled up Aqua Teen Hunger Force on his tablet. So I'm kind of laughing right now. Hey, podcast, right? Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, we're still doing that, right? So,
professional.
Yes. So, we're going to play a convergence, specifically Lucant versus Scar One. Which
you got to be positive, man. It's Lucan.
Lucan,
yes. Yep.
Lucant, which is one of the internet answers. Like, how do you deal with convergence with Crix? Well, you just take Prime Scar and win. And even though you're not playing the traditional Scar 1 list, I still think this was a decent matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. So
why don't you run us through Peacegar real quick and introduce her to new casters?
New casters or new players?
New players, right?
So, are there new casters out? Are we doing news and announcements?
For all you new Warcasters out there,
exactly. No,
the Borker come out yet?
Standing around waiting.
So, Pirate Queen Scar or Scar One is Focus 6 Warcaster, Satixis Warcaster for Crix. She's Speed 7, Mat 7,
Bullcrap.
Defense 16, Bullcrap. Armor 15. Don't hate.
Probably one of the best guys there, Clint.
She's got what? Three initial attacks. Tacarix, which is magic weapon, ends up at POW 13. The Bloodworm Dagger, which is POW 9, also magic weapon. And the Great Rack, which is POW 10 and comes with the knockdown on hit. So Tacarix, the highest strength weapon, gives you the Life Trader ability, so you can pay a point of damage to get an additional die.
Bullcrap.
The Bloodworm Dagger, if you destroy something living, you can heal back D3, which not the most useful, but has corner case applications.
Well, it helps considering Scar cuts herself off game with her feet. And
it does.
Life Trader.
It
She's
does.
Emo. She's pretty emo.
I didn't realize that the Life Trader was only on her weapon.
It's only on that
particular weapon. I thought it was all the time for whatever reason.
Well, it's the most powerful one. So
yeah, it's the one that you swing all the time.
Additional swings, that's...
You open up maybe with the Great Rack.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. To floor people.
Yes. Exactly.
Floor people with your Great Rack.
Ha ha.
This is a joke that's never been made before.
No.
No. But one of her other signature abilities is Star Action. The official name is Sacrificial Strike, but most people just call it the Scar Bomb. And essentially you target a model within Scar's line of sight. That's within her command. And... You target also a friendly trooper within 1 inch of Scar. You essentially sacrifice the trooper to deliver an auto-hitting magic damage equal to the base armor of the removed model. So,
which Doc Rock also has that.
Yep, and you can boost it too with Scar.
You can boost
it. That is pretty sweet.
So, you know, one way to get rid of annoying high defense models or maybe a late shot on a caster.
Sure.
You know.
Sack of Bane Knight, power 16 boosted. Bam, automatic.
Yeah, no, and that's the great thing is eliminating dice from that.
And it only takes one focus to do that.
Yep. So, great ability. To run down her spells, she has Backlash, which is cost 3, range 8, upkeep, and target Warjack is part of the enemy battle group. If it is damaged, its controller suffers 1 damage point. So you can Backlash Assassinate with Scar if you get Satixis Raiders or other... models that are hard-hitting enough to do enough damage to Warjacks, you can actually kill the caster behind it.
Right, because they have to be two different rules, so they don't cancel each other out. They're like, okay, I hit you once, I cause two.
Right,
each.
The Satixis Raider on the last Raider Whips is called Feedback, and this is called Backlash, and so they will stack. So you can do 2 points a shot with Satixis Raiders if they damage the opposing Jack.
As the Convergence player, it's a genuine concern that my caster could just die. The nice thing about them, though, is that they're base... damage boxes are decent.
Yeah, so you have to actually damage the model successfully. You can't just hit it. So there is that. Blood Rain, cost 3, range 8, AoE 3, POW 12, causes corrosion under the AoE. Dark Guidance, cost 4, control area. Friendly faction models gain an additional die on melee attack rolls. That also synergizes well with models with multiple attacks and... particularly with Satixis Raiders with the crit knockdown on the Lacerator Whips. Hellfire is a really good, cost 3, range 10, POW 14 nuke, pass a command check or flee. And rather great spell on her card, Ritual Sacrifice, cost 2, range 6, remove a friendly warrior model from play, and Scar gains D6 additional focus during your next control phase.
Which she will never cast herself.
Not if she can help it. So... And her feat, Blood Magic, Scar can take up to 5 damage points. For each damage point taken, models, friendly faction models, gain +1 strength and arm. So, and it lasts for 1 round. So yeah, it's good offensively and defensively. Most people will cut for the full 5, so +5 strength, +5 armor for your pretty much your army, because you're not really going to take a lot of mercenaries with her.
Have you ever seen anybody not do 5? I've always seen five.
Five damage
I've,
left.
I've done it once when I had two damage left, and I was like, I'll cut myself for one.
Yeah. I just came up in a tournament game one time where someone says somebody always cuts for five, so I think just to spite them, they cut for four.
That jerk.
So
really showed you that his opponent.
Yeah.
I think it was the point where his caster had like one life left anyway. It was just like you haven't, and the Scar player hadn't even feeded. So, but yeah, generally it's going to be the full five and just blast it. So
you decided to go. And I mean, she's one of the more common Crix casters seen because her game plan is very simple but very effective too.
Yes.
But you decided to go with the tier. What benefits are you getting out of the tier, and what led you into that?
Well, I like Scar's tier, and this is the original tier from the Forces of Crix book. This is the Shoreleaf tier. So she has a second tier called Ships in the Night that focuses in on the pirates.
Sounds like like an R&B slow jam song.
Exactly.
Ships in the night, girl. Gonna set my sails for you.
Exactly. So.
So is that going to be playing while the matchup's happening?
Oh, absolutely. You know it will.
Got to have it on the soundtrack now. So with Shore Leave, what your restrictions are is non-character Bone Jacks and amphibious Hell Jacks. That's essentially the Crab Jacks for Crix. And then you have the Black Ogryn Raiding Party, the Blood Gorgers, Revenant units, and Satixis units. And then Necrotechs, Scrap Thralls, the Scarlock Thrall, Satixis Solos, Rengrave, and Gerlach Slaughterborn. So you have a lot of options in the tier.
The thing I like about the tier is that you are getting everything that you would normally want with Scar. Like, as far as like the support pieces are concerned, you can get the Scrap Thralls and the Scarlock.
Well, the only thing that's missing is really the Necrosurgeon. Scar, you know, because she does like to cut, she can wind up down on hit points. She, you know, she doesn't have a good way to just use Necrosurgery to get healed back up. So yes, you have to basically spend your focus to try and heal back up if you want to heal back up, if you're not killing things with your Bloodworm, which you're probably not. But that's kind of the only model I really miss in here. You know, there's a variation of the Scarlist that's very popular. You have a lot of Mechanithralls, because with Dark Guidance, you know, their Mat 5 is not as a serious impediment. And then you can really boost up their hitting power with her feet. So,
which is the more common list is just a unrelenting sea of dudes that hit hard, mm-hmm. at least on the feet turn, and just grind you out until there's nothing left.
Yeah. And the tier list still
accomplishes
that.
Girl, I'm going to give you my unrelenting sea of dudes.
Exactly.
They're also men from the sea. And there's something you can do with that.
Wait. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. Oh!
Yeah, I was going to say, wait for it. He'll get it. Just, tier 1, your Helljacks gain advanced deployment. Tier 2, if you have two or more Satixis units, everything gets Pathfinder. Tier 3, if you have two Helljacks, you get to place 4-inch water templates within the 20 inches of the back edge of your table zone, which I'm still looking for kind of the best tactical use of that. Yeah, I guess if your opponent doesn't have a lot of Pathfinder, it can be useful, but still trying to figure out what the best use of that is.
Yeah, I've seen you play this list and not even drop it because it's almost irrelevant.
Yeah, it hasn't been super useful, but tier 4 bonus is actually why, you know, to even get up to that point. Essentially what happens to you, if you have two or more medium-based units, Slaughterborn and your medium-based units get an advanced move. So with my list, what I've done is I have Scar, a Scarlock Thrall, two Leviathans, the Raider Captain, Gerlach Slaughterborn, two pods of Scrap Thralls, full Satixis Raiders with UA, full Blood Gorgers, full unit of Black Ogryn Boarding Party, and a second unit of Satixis Raiders minimum. So when you go down the list here, essentially both Leviathans will advance deploy, all of the Satixis advance deploy, and then Slaughterborn, the Gorgers, and the Black Ogryn will advance move. So all of the forward and hard-hitting elements of your army that are really not, and you know, everything but the support is starting the game on the advanced deploy line.
It reminds me a little bit about the Krios 2 tier as well, which is you have this aggressive melee army that can just get in it.
Yep.
really quickly.
Yeah, so the goal is on the first turn with Pathfinder is you can run up the field and get up the field pretty quickly to set the line of engagement further back on your opponent's side of the table to try and make scenario plays.
How do your trolls hit harder than my trolls?
Because they're the better trolls.
They're crit trolls.
They work for crits. I know.
Manufacture armor swings.
It's like, yep. Could I get plus five armor?
Better when you're in
crits. Or plus five strength? I'll take either one.
Let's take your rules and see what's negative. Okay, well, that's just right out. We'll go ahead and give you the best of everything because we're crits and everyone's going to hate you anyway.
But they keep the game balanced by taking all the cool rules away from Scorn.
Oh, that makes sense.
So there you go.
Seems fair to me.
Seems fair.
Yeah. So, you know, all the Statixis Raiders have multiple attacks, which synergize well with her, with Dark Guidance and with her feet. So you're getting a lot of high-quality swings and attacks with the Statixis Raiders. Also with the Blood Gorgers, with Gang. So, and then, of course, Slaughterborn. You know, he can be an absolute terror if he gets on a good chain. So
a Dark Guidance Slaughterborn, especially under the feet, but even just normally, is just a monster.
Yep. So yeah, so there's a lot of good hard hitting elements, and one of the things I did with this list too is with the Focus Factory. So you have the Scarlock in the back who can cast Ritual Sacrifice on the Scrap Thrall sitting back there to feed extra focus to Scar. Is she can stand behind the two Leviathans, and they can't be knocked down, so it does help from screening her a little bit, so she can get up into it, because a lot of games where I play, I will sometimes overcommit her and get her killed, but I found with the two Jacks side by side, you can create a little command bunker for her to move her up.
It's also something to note is you have Gerlach preventing the Blood Gorgers from being knocked down.
Yes.
You have the Raider Captain preventing Scar and the Statixis Raiders from being knocked down.
Right, because they're all
Statixis models.
And
then obviously the Leviathans are just naturally immune to knockdown. So you have an entire army minus, what, the Ogrins and a couple of support pieces.
So you're saying Pete Krios is out.
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
Not be the drop.
No, Jeff actually dropped that against me one time, and just to see what would happen, and it was pretty much like you think.
Yeah, it sucks when you don't get you have a knockdown feat and you don't get it.
Right.
I play Barnabas, so whenever you play against Menoth with him, it's pure sadness.
Yes.
And Menoth can snipe out the Sea Witch sometimes, like, but sniping out Gerlach is infinitely harder.
Well, it's not the Sea Witch that gives. It's the Raider Captain. So she's usually even further back. Then the Sea Witch has to stay in command of the unit. But, the Raider Captain, generally I will keep back somewhat to keep Scar from getting dropped down and use her as more of a mid to late game piece. She doesn't have to be up on the first wave.
It's usually the Menoth Battle Engine that shows up a lot of times in PCRS lists. Like, for that specific purpose, you prevent knockdown, I'm going to shoot you first. If I can kill you, then I can get a quality feed out of it.
If you have a Reckoner and Menoth, dice off 10, you're killing. At least you're forcing a tough check on Gerlach.
Yep. The way I usually see you run Gerlach is that your Blood Gorgers are medium bases, so you can actually hide them.
Sure.
Yep. And, Gerlach's usually in the middle of that, so they'll start dying off to shooting and a few other things eventually. But, the few that do get there can do some serious work, and then Gerlach can come through and hopefully at that point just clean up. So that's the general principle behind the list. I've had some decent success with it. It is a little different from what most folks see when they see a Peace Scar drop, so it makes for a unique game with opponents. And
well, one of the impressive things that I find about the particular tier is actually allocating focus to Leviathans. You have plenty of focus to allocate to them. You can hide behind them, and Leviathans are shooting all game.
Yeah, they can be fully fueled up, and Scar can still be kept in somewhat relative safety. The Focus Factory, working behind her to keep her with some focus. She can probably still get a Dark Guidance off and give a couple focus here and there to the Leviathans. So they can start picking apart some things as they move up the board. So, boostable guns in Krix is something I'm a huge fan of. Most of my Krix lists do tend to have some kind of boostable gun in them because it's not something that everyone always anticipates the Krix player having. So,
well, and people mostly build their anti-Krix list for I can hard counter like aggressive melee infantry spam.
Sure,
and you're like, shoot that guy, go up and go and shoot that guy.
Yeah, one of the drops I see a lot when I play Krix is Saren from against Legion, and so being able to shut down melee for a turn, I still have some shooting options. Other traditional Krix drops that I see is kind of the anti-Krix casters. you know, having some shooting in there can help change that around. Remove a key support solo, something to that effect can be very useful.
And you still have Scar. I mean, the list still does what a Scar list does, which is it's coming to get you. Can you stop?
Yep.
Can you stop this? And I don't need that much to kill things.
Right. And you have the surprise element, too, with the Black Ogryn, you know, with 6 points.
So you're the only one I've actually seen use Blood Gorgers. So what are your our thoughts on that unit? How often do you use it outside of this particular list? I feel like they're the best, worst unit in Crix.
No, there's a lot of those.
That's Cephalix Mindslaver, sir.
Is it?
Yes, with the body and soul tier.
Yeah, that's true. No, Gorgers are great, but the challenge is they get, you know, they can get shot, and that's miserable for them because their stat line really doesn't help in that case. So I like them, though, because you get 2 high-quality attacks with gang. So they're coming in at mat 8. They swing at pal 13 at that point. So you don't need dark guidance necessarily, you know, against most infantry. You know, mat 8 usually is going to be good enough, and then on the feet, they're POW 18.
Well, and they fill this, like, very interesting gap in there is that they have a way to have natural high mat, which is not known in Banes, unless you have Tartars, of course.
Yeah.
And they have ways to infantry blend, too, because you have Gerlach supporting that as well.
Yep, yeah. So Gerlach gives them overtake if he's in their command range. So after you can manufacture some interesting attacks, whatnot, if you can get Gorgers into the right positions. You can charge overtake maybe to another model that's engaged by, you know, a separate Blood Gorger. So you can get a lot of multiple attacks and spread that out if it's done carefully. You can get a couple of turn if you play it right. So,
and they're still a medium based tough unit, which is hard to remove a lot of times.
Yep. And with Gerlach there, they're also no knockdown. So mm-hmm. Yeah. So they can hold pretty well. They can be defensive, especially if your opponent doesn't have a lot of shooting. If they do, try and counter deploy, probably be the best. I'd probably try and send the Satixis after the shooting unit.
I guess we can move on to my list. Today I am playing Convergence of Cirrus.
Nah, I'm done.
You're done?
Yes, yeah, we don't.
Yeah. Half the podcast just left and is watching
TV. Let's go get some birds.
We're also just going to make up stuff with your Convergence and all of us can be like, oh, okay, sure.
Yeah, Convergence has the worst names.
They are all the same. I think that the joke was among the Privateer Press staff is this is the last time we'll let DC name an army.
Yeah, there's multiple reasons.
What's the name of that one solo? Your favorite one there, the Arc Node buddy?
The Algorithmic Dispersion Optifex.
Yeah, you're just like, you're messing with us. Messing with us. Yeah. I'm too dumb to remember
you're
that.
Just making stuff
it's a spell
up.
Martyr, basically.
Yeah.
One.
See, you know, that's easy. Spell Martyr, Arc Node bro.
If you were at least half Japanese, at least you'd remember Algorithmic.
That's true. I am a quarter, so my math skills aren't enough to actually play Convergence.
Exactly.
Well, and before I get
to be stereotypical,
nobody here is stereotypical.
The specifics of the list, a lot of people haven't played against Convergence yet, and I want to run through a few of their special rules. It'll frame the list a little better. Convergence do not have Warjacks; they have something called Vectors, and which do not have an Arc Node. They have something called an Induction Node.
They look remarkably like Warjacks.
Cortex.
Dumb looking Warjacks.
They don't have Cortex. Yeah. They have a special rule where if a Vector spends a focus, magic focus appears on another vector within 6 inches of it. A common misconception
and
is that it's a transfer.
You lost me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stopped listening. I'm looking at Infinity Miniatures right now.
Okay.
Whoa.
I am.
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah, I'm going to put an Infinity Miniature on my Riphorn.
Whoa.
Whoa.
That's not a big enough game to be otherwise.
You know, that is pretty anime for like a little girl to be riding
Boom.
A giant.
Let me see if I can find a little girl.
That's how much riding
care,
a giant.
That's how much we care about Convergence.
Clearly. We're like, yeah, rules. No, nobody cares.
Does anybody else play Convergence in Florida?
Andrew.
I'm sure there's some.
The dude Andrew?
Yeah, but he has limited funds, so he doesn't have that much Convergence.
The guy who won
Convergence
at Crucible. High roller.
Where is he from?
What?
The guy who won Best in Convergence at Crucible?
I don't remember. I'm blanking. I am sorry, random person that I forgot there's whose name.
Who's better than you?
He is better than you at Convergence.
He had everything.
You brought Kador. What's the matter with you?
It is my fault now.
It is your fault you brought Kador. You picked it.
To the Kador tournament.
Okay, on to Lucan's list before we lose everybody.
All right. So
like that hasn't happened already.
Yeah. Hey, I found a little anime-like samurai guy I could put on my Gripphorn.
Yeah, there you go.
Can you just kill that mic?
Gripphornaru Chajaru!
That was Carter, by the way. That was not Clint making an impression
of Carter. 25% of Carter. He's 25% Japanese.
You comment.
When Carter laughs, he goes so squinty-eyed. It's so great. It's so great.
And when he drinks. He's laughing because it's true. So, LeConte. Yeah, we're all interested. All
right. So, with my captive audience here.
All right. I think we've covered vectors and induction, or not, but algorithms. Anyways,
we'll probably get into it while I'm.
You might want to cover the fact that because it matters with the list that all of your warjacks or vectors, which I hate that term, don't have a normal mat and rat rating.
Yes, they are. The mat and rat rating of a vector is always the mat and rat of the controlling warcaster.
And you cannot buff them unless you buff the caster.
That is correct. Something that says you get +2 to hit works fine because it's +2 off their hit. Something that says they get +2 mat or -2 mat or anything like that, it only happens to them if the warcaster has suffered that.
Pete Denny drop every time.
Well, you know, you hit the caster with the feet.
Yeah.
No, you don't hit the caster with the feet.
You do
you just
when you
don't.
Just want to win.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, so based on what you guys are saying, and this is a legitimate question. So let's say you use Denny's feet. If the caster is outside of it, the warjacks are actually not going to suffer any of the mat and rat.
No, they suffer all the other effects.
The other ones, but the mat and rat will not be.
I've actually, like, under Witch Coven's feet, because it's a bubble effect, and then more than a pulse, I've walked my warcaster out of the feet so the rest of my warjacks have their rat.
That's super secret tech. I don't know if we should say that.
Okay. That's actually pretty solid. See, I learned something. Boom. Face.
The more you
I like
know.
The surprise in your voice. So, like, I learned something. Didn't think that was happening.
Yeah, so whenever you're playing Convergence next time, you'll be solid.
I will. That's it. That's all you have to know about Convergence?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're going to make up units. Okay, yeah.
So what can LeCant?
LeCant. LeCant. Are you a LeCant? Are you a LeCant?
Yes, the joke had to be made.
It had to be made.
It's a good line.
So, LeCant is a Focus 7 caster. He is Defense 14, Armor 17. He has 21 damage boxes.
Bull crap.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not
cool. More than Terminus.
That's the hardiest stat rush in the game for a caster.
Yes. Probably.
Just wait. It gets better.
The base defensive stats are, like, good, but the amount of damage he has and the way that he naturally plays leads to him being very, very hard to kill.
Oh, and he's immune to hammers too.
He is immune to hammers. He has a label. He has natural pathfinder, and he also is a clockwork vessel, which means that he is a construct. He's not a living Miles, with the exception of he generates a soul token.
All right. See, I have to interrupt again. Just I will not let that stand. You besmirch the hardiest warcaster in the game,
the Coven with 24 boxes.
Okay.
Bam.
Damn it. It's supposed to be Eddie D.
So
Dominic Darius is actually 22 at number 18.
Yeah, but he doesn't count.
You will see him again someday.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't exist. I think Darius.
What about
is
that Kator guy?
So apparently, Pirate Captain will be playing Darius on the future cast.
He's another one of those that doesn't count.
I've tried and I can't.
Karchev does have a bunch of boxes, but he's
Karchev has 30 something boxes.
Yeah, they're warjack boxes.
Okay. He also doesn't count.
Why didn't he count?
I also forgot about him.
Because he's weird.
He wants to count.
Said.
You can't leave him out of the
because
Warcaster
Because he's currently
dance.
In the hand to Crix. He's going to be a colossal epic Crix Warcaster.
No, Strakov's going to have him in Little Baby Bjorn, and they're going to ride the countryside smiting evil. That's what's going to happen. It's telegraphed.
It's going to be like a buddy cop show.
Yes.
Strakov.
I think now's a good time to inform everyone that we lost the original version of this podcast. This may be our second attempt, and we may be losing focus just a little bit.
Just a little.
So Strakov's going to carry him like C-3PO on Chewbacca's back, right?
Exactly, yeah. And they're going to do backflips.
Oh, yeah,
style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, just please go to your spell list. Let's get this over with.
So
it's painful.
One bullcrap spell. Another bullcrap spell.
Well,
another one.
Well,
another one.
He also has a field marshal, which is important. Yeah, all convergence casters has a field marshal, which is a benefit they grant to them and their battle group while they're in their battle group. His field marshal is shield guard. Every model in his battle group is a shield guard.
Do they have field marshals for hordes?
No, the only other field marshal I know of is Harkovich.
Strike no, three. The lesser Strike warlocks. Three?
Oh, yeah.
The...
No, Strike 3 has an elite cadre, doesn't he?
What's doesn't Gray have one?
Field marshal.
The Beastmistress has a field marshal.
Field marshal.
Yeah, aggressive.
Yeah, the Beastmistress has field marshal.
Which I'm a big fan of field marshal.
Bork is going to have a field marshal.
He's field repairable and he's steady.
Counter charge or something.
Yeah.
He also has stall on his weapon. His power 16 weapon.
The always forgotten continuous effect stall.
Is that when you're playing for dice down?
Yes, you remember it. Yeah. just hit the opponent with stall. So his spells. His first spell is Dissolution Bolt. A model hit by Dissolution Bolt cannot channel spells for one round. It is range 8, power 12. He has Deceleration, which is a 3-cost spell that models in his control area gains plus 2 defense and arm against range attacks.
Wait, an armor buff?
Yes.
No.
No. He doesn't do anything about armor. He doesn't do anything with armor. He also has positive charge. Target-friendly faction warjack gains plus 2 melee attack and melee damage rolls. While within 3 inches of effective warjack, friendly faction models gain plus 2 melee attack and melee damage rolls, and it lasts for a turn. It's a non-upkeep 2-cost spell, so you can cast on multiple jacks at a time. He also has purification, which is not important.
No, of course not.
It's continuous effects animize and upkeep spells in the model's control area immediately expires.
Pirate Captain, have you discussed your purification theory?
I don't think it was mine. We were all talking there is no bad purification caster.
Yeah.
I would fully support that. He also has Watcher, which is fast will become one of my favorite spells with him, which is an upkeep, self-upkeep, which is when an enemy model advances and ends its movement within 6 inches of this model, choose a warjack in this model's battle group that is in its control area. That warjack can immediately make a full advance and then make one normal melee or ranged attack targeting the enemy model. The attack and damage rolls against the model are boosted. After the attack is resolved, Watcher expires.
I think you have to tell us about the recent ruling that has made Watcher one of your favorite spells.
The recent ruling is that if you end within 6 inches of a warcaster with Watcher and you make the movement with the warjack, if you don't make the attack, the Watcher does not expire. So you can trigger Watcher multiple times as long as you're not making the attack.
That's brutal.
And also,
that's for real? Like that was the recent?
That was the for real ruling of Watcher, yes. Sometimes I run an inverter with him that has a power 20 knockdown on a stick. So the inverter
on a stick.
On a stick. So you get within 6 inches of my caster, I can walk up and go, bam, knocked it down. Activation immediately ends.
Okay, so explain this to me. This caster has a mat buff,
mm-hmm.
or a hitting buff, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Strength buff. Well, not a strength buff, but damage buff.
Damage buff, yes.
2 armor buffs.
Mm-hmm.
1 defense buff.
Mm-hmm.
And purification.
Yes.
How is that not the best spell list in the game?
I don't know if it's the best spell list in the game because Epicalia exists, but I will most definitely say he's probably my pick for best in faction.
Okay, here's my question.
Well, he's definitely best in faction.
But how is your record with Lucant?
Mostly in the positive.
Mostly in the positive.
It's a bold way to go out on a limb.
That's
true.
I mostly do
okay sometimes.
I actually don't keep track of my wins.
Okay,
because I would be sad.
Not good.
Have any of you guys beat his Lucant list?
Yes.
Okay. Just curious.
Lost to it too.
Oh, his feat, which is the last part of his stuff, is. While in Lucan's control area, friendly faction models gain plus 4 armor. When a friendly faction model in Lucan's control area makes a repair skill check, it automatically succeeds. Clock reinforcement lasts for 1 round.
So what can you potentially get your vectors up to?
The steady vectors are armor 19 base, so they are armor 23 under the feet. The prime axiom gets armor 24 under the feet.
26 with the...
And deceleration against range, yeah, makes it 26.
Yeah, that's what I was curious with your spells. Wow.
And Lucant can technically camp up to 28.
Yes. And one of the things I like about him specifically is if you're advancing up with deceleration up and you're facing off against a heavy shooty army and you're taking that damage in the early game, his feat also has the auto repair aspect of it as well. So I'm like, feat, you probably can't hurt me that well, and I just repaired all that damage you caused me.
On the next episode of Clint's Caster Cliff Notes Corner.
Very carefully said there.
Don't bring guns in a Lucant fight.
I was about to say, how does Signar not just
they don't
openly?
They don't.
The Lucant shows.
Maybe. From personal opinion,
Tracker 2, yeah.
I have lost with. I brought the Kray just as a test of a terrible attempt. And punched him a few times and lost. But Striker 2, if he ever gets to Lucant, usually has a can put him down, even with the armor buff.
Siege is also not
This might also be a decent matchup for Striker 3 here.
Yeah.
Striker 3 would hit it and hit it hard.
Nope, worst caster in the game.
I mean, there's, yeah.
According to some of our senior friends.
Not me, by the way.
I may have played Striker 3 recently just to prove a particular person wrong, not naming names. He is one of those casters that have made a significant impact upon the game just because he says, you can't shoot me. And a lot of aspect of the game is heavy ranged armies.
Now we're talking about Lucant.
Yes, right. Lucant. Yes,
Striker 3 definitely
works. Wait a second. Wait. No, I caught that.
You got that?
I was on that train.
See, Clint was with me.
I'm always with you.
Thank you.
There he is.
So I have like
there's the flavor.
Oh God, please go back to talking about your army. This may be the longest podcast we have.
So I have several lists.
Twice. We've heard about Lucant twice. So you can tell how much I was paying attention the last time. So I'm asking questions this time.
Maybe we should record every episode twice.
I really hope that this recording works out. I really do. I had that dark thought.
If not, this match is lost for all eternity. We are not doing a third.
I would be okay with that at this point.
What's in your army? Tell me what's in your army.
What's your army? Quick, before the recorder dies.
Just come up with a bunch of freaking math terms, and that's in his army.
My geometric formulas? Constipation router.
Okay.
Clint thinks that's math.
Clint thinks math good.
So, for this podcast, of the many lists I have for him, I decided to play the Prime Axiom because the Prime Axiom is not very popular with him, but I greatly appreciate the Prime Axiom with Lucant. So I have Prime Axiom, Corollary, Mitigator, and Diffuser as his battle group.
I'd like to point out Prime Axiom's rat is 3 when it's under Lucant, which is why it's not very much liked.
That's usually why it's not very much liked. I just like him because I put positive charge in him and it affects a massive amount of table space. So it's a focus efficiency thing for me. He also has the corollary, which is, if people don't know what a corollary is.
It's a squire.
It's a better squire. It's
yeah.
Much it's better. Better. It's like,
that's
it's
a
like,
strong statement, it, too,
it's,
but it's
like
a better squire.
It's like 4 squires.
It is a warcaster attachment and a warjack at the same time for
it's
3 points.
It's a vector.
If it's within 5 inches of a caster, it increases your caster's control area by 2. If it starts its activation within 3 inches of a warcaster, it automatically gains a focus. It never loses a focus point on it, and it has a special action where it can spend focus points on it and give that focus to a jack, which since it's a spend, it also triggers induction at the same time.
2 for 1, 2 for 1.
$5, 2 for 1.
And with accumulator, that's 0. Like, just make 2 focus appear.
That's a trend.
And I know you're a big fan of actually waiting, letting it accumulate 1 turn, and then on the second turn, it accumulates to a second, and you get 3 focus on a jack without any of that coming from your warcaster.
And I usually try and set it up so that one of the inductions I trigger during the course of a turn, one tries to always get back to the corollary, just so I have that. As long as I have one, I have 3 free focus to any jack. So, Prime Axiom, I would like boost something randomly that doesn't even really need to be boosted, just as long as I can get that focus back. But usually the first focus he spends goes back to corollary.
Right, so with your focus efficiency, even though the Prime Axiom is Rat 3, because of the tow cables, you know, you're going to want to target either, you know, heavies or, you know, maybe light warjacks or some medium-based infantry, but you're going after hard targets with that. So they don't necessarily always have really high defense, so you can boost a tow cable, you know, and hit reliably right around defense 13 without, you know, which is kind of in the realm of where a lot of your big heavies are, or, you know, give you better than 50-50 odds to pull something in and kill it. You know, so as an opponent, you always have to deal with it. Yeah. So that's something I always think about.
Yeah, and I love threatening drag because I had a game where a Menoth player was just doing nothing but arm locking both their jacks so they couldn't be dragged. So I'm like, okay, cool. Keep doing that. Cool. I just charged it with a Prime Axiom. It's a Mad 8 Power 22 under positive charge. I just picked up that jack. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't able to drag it in. Because it's still a speed 5 heavy with natural Pathfinder. He also has a mitigator and a diffuser. The mitigator has a range 7 a Quake gun that causes an automatic point of damage on its 3-inch AoE. The knockdown is on the direct hit. The automatic point of damage is not. Which is nice for, because it's not blast damage. It gets around things like force barrier. It also gets around shield wall. It's a fantastic ability. He has a diffuser, and the diffuser is there mainly as a positive charge target in this list, but it's also another power 11 gun. It's only rat 3, but more often than not, I'm aiming with it because it's not firing until the line of engagement's happening, and I'd rather just, like, sometimes I'll just arc positive charge onto it to buff the rest of my list.
Well, and the gun has Hunter's Mark, so it increases threat range, basically.
Right, yeah. Which can be devastating if you can Hunter's Mark the right target and then send in the Prime Axiom. So, you know, like you said, you got to watch out for the tow cables to bring something in and kill it, and you also got to watch you don't walk too close and then just have it walk up and crush you that way. So it's can sometimes be difficult to deal with that. You have to, you know, work with terrain in your favor sometimes, or, you know, intervening models to stop that from really just ruining your day.
And it also has luck. It gets a reroll on its hit. So a boosted rat 3 with a reroll actually has a really decent chance of hitting something.
Yeah.
And it's basically a diffuser on my list because I was running a galvanizer for a while, and I'm like, I might as well just have the gun. There's literally no difference. I might as well just have the gun.
You imply that any of us understand what a galvanizer is.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, pick me.
Sounds like a marital aid.
Thank you, Clint.
No, those are all the Cephalex monstrosity names. Yeah. The Wrecker.
So I know we already talked about our wonderfully named algorithmic dispersion optifex, which is just it's an arc node if it's within how close to a jack?
If it's within, it's either 5 or 6 within a jack, it becomes an arc node. It has no attack, but the nice thing about it is it's a 13-12 with 5 damage boxes, so it's not easy to kill a lot of times. It has Iron Sentinel, but I've never used it. I've never been that close to a jack to take advantage of it.
And the attunement servitors, which I know something also that helps with the rat 3 that you were talking about.
Yeah, they're a range 7 4-inch AoE that does no damage, but if it just touches something with the template, it becomes flared. It becomes -2 defense.
And they always touch something.
Yeah, I know Carter and I were talking about that. Just assume that whatever you want to shoot has probably been flared.
It's a 4-inch AoE with a short range, so maximum scatter isn't even that far anyway. I love attunement servitors. I can barely go list without it unless I have some way to get flare in the list some other way.
What else can you not have a list without?
Corollary.
True.
And
no, but you personally.
Me personally.
We've and discussed Dan, this. And Dan. And Dan.
There's two sets of them in this list.
Clockwork Angels.
There you go.
My favorite unit in Convergence. A speed 7 advanced deploy, reforming, magical weapon, magical gun, range 10, combined range attack, powerful charge unit.
How many points?
They are 3 points for 3. And point you can have up to 3 units of them. In this list, they have their natural ability of, I think, Bladed Wing or something like that allows them to have +2 defense against range attacks. So you stack that with Deflection, you can easily make it defense 18 against guns. And if I can get any other cover on top of it, since none of that's concealment or anything like that, I just buff up their defense against guns even higher.
That's pretty hot.
Yes.
Super hot.
They're also the only thing in the faction that it really threat projects, so that's my counter jam, is actually having a unit that could charge forward or run forward and just gum things up so I can set up the rest of my army. I think they're one of the most critical aspects of the Convergence faction, just because they have all those abilities. And charging things and killing like 2 or 3 models and then reforming to tie up the rest of them is fun.
And they're also advanced deploy and speed 7, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And flight.
Ooh. I also have a unit of Optifex Directive, which is my equivalent of Acquire. It's a 3-man unit that can either give constructs and base space with it, Pathfinder, or Magic Weapon, and they also have a Repair 8 repair skill. So I can give, like, oh, I can't shoot a Manoth Heavy, walk them up, Now my drag guns are magical. I can drag them in anyway. I have a unit of reciprocators, which is a 10-point unit that all have clear and spray 6, rat 5 sprays. So they can spray through my own models. A lot of times I can get the aiming bonus to generate better hitting. Of course, I also have flares in the list, so that also helps. They're also power 13, which surprises a lot of people. I've seen skinwalkers with Morvana die under reductor sprays, even while they're engaging stuff. And last but not least, I have... Well, those were the reductors. Last but not least, I have a full unit of reciprocators, which are a 5-man medium-based infantry unit with shield wall. And they have the opportunity to either give themselves set defense or they can give themselves +2 power.
Kind of what Manowar should have been.
Yes. No, when I looked at Convergence, I'm like, why aren't Manowars exactly these guys? Why, you know, the medium-based infantry in Convergence is so much better than Manowars.
And so under Lucant, if I got this right, on reciprocators, they are defense 12, mm-hmm. they can have set defense, mm-hmm. and they can be affected by deceleration, making mm-hmm. them defense 14 against charge attacks and ranged attacks.
Correct.
They are armor 16 with shield wall order. So under his feet, they go from 16 to 20 to armor 24. So defense 14, armor 24 units.
Yes. 8 boxes. Armor 26, because deceleration also.
But yes, 26 against shooting, 24 against melee.
Yeah.
And how I usually run them is that they're the vanguard. They're taking the brunt of it while the reductors just stand behind them and go, oh, look, you're tying me up. Spray, 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 spray.
Well, plus with positive charge and what is it? Empowered attack, they mm-hmm. hit incredibly hard.
Yeah, they get up to 16. That's like one of the reasons why I have the diffuser there, just because it can walk up positive charge something, or it can be behind them. You cast positive charge on it, and then they just benefit from it naturally.
And I know from experience playing you, the reductors, you think 6-inch spray, rat 5, that's not like, well, maybe, you know, I can defense tank that. I know it's very common for you, given this layered assault that you kind of do, that on the turns that it matter, reductors are usually aiming, going to rat 7, and you've usually been flared. So now you're looking at an effective rat 9 shot with clear, so he's just hitting his own models in the back, and models quickly start disappearing to reductor sprays.
It is a phenomenal combination. I've run it with multiple different warcasters, too. Just having reciprocators standing there saying, you can't engage my reductors. You have to kill these guys in order to engage my reductors. With Lucant, shooting them, there's very few like spell ways to really get through the reductors. I mean, you can like pull things out with battle mages or something like that, but you have to engage these guys. These guys are not dying as fast as you want them to, and I have all of these sprays just spraying through them, killing whatever you're doing. And you do like a 1-2 thing. It's like you came into me, not all my guys die. Reductor spray to clear it off. Reciprocators move forward. Again, again, again. And you just wait. You just have the army keep crashing against you, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
I just won the attrition war.
Sucks a lot.
Yeah. I love it. I love doing it. I love playing Convergence, and that's one of the tactics that I love about it.
Well, right. I would ask awesome. You guys how you feel about the matchup, which may or may not have been filmed since our loss of that. So we're going to skip that to not give away any surprises.
I think we should talk about it real quick. No, seriously, because... They, you know, people listening, if there's still people listening, which
I'm not listening.
I got a 50-50 shot of none. But we can still go over the, at least quickly, who do you think this matchup favors?
I think this matchup is entirely dependent upon the positioning of the table. How much you can rob.
Well, it's in that room over there, so that's where it's positioned.
That's a bold statement.
I know, but... I think
it's going to come down to positioning and tactics and dice rolls. Right. I think that's where I'm at.
Pirate Captain, thank you for that insight.
But as a Lucant player, I can't let Scar ever get an explosive feat. Ever.
You
if she gets everything she
Lucant
wants. Lucant. I can't. I Lucant.
Scar.
I've been resisting that. I've been trying so hard not to do it.
I've been Lucant resist. Really hard not to say, is there a what's your vector, Victor?
What's your vector, Victor?
What's your vector, Victor?
Because there would be if I was playing you. What's your vector, Victor?
So, I mean, the Scar list can get up to match strength for strength against your armor in that case, and I can get my mat high enough to deal with set defense and some of those defenses, and I can charge far. But so it will come down to the things I'm worried about is, you know, if the Leviathans get towed in and killed, which breaks my command bunker, or if I get too many sprays on my Satixis and other units, that could be bad for me. So, and then I just can't let the Prime Axiom just run amok. So we'll see what happens in that regard.
I personally think that the matchup favors Leucant a little bit because your feats almost cancel each other out.
Stars is better.
It is better.
Stars is objectively better than
No, it is. It is. But plus 4 armor on a armor 20 model is much better than plus 5 armor on an armor 11, 12, 13, 14 model. Because this list has a bunch of heavy hitters and with positive charge, you kind of negate, because of how low Krik's armor is and how high your POW can be on your weapons in convergence, I think it kind of negates it out.
And there's a certain point as a convergence player that I'm just going to take it on the chin a little bit when it comes to, because Scar's going to have a feat. You can't stop it. But the thing I like about it is reductors being power 13 sprays usually get around most of the infantry that he has feated on. Because a lot of times you're like, well, you know, power 10s don't hurt a lot of Scar feated on infantry. I'm like, well, power 13 sprays or dice off 5 most of the time. Like, all I have to do is hit and I can kill him still.
I mean, it's not a decisive advantage.
All right. Thank you for listening to episode 4 of Enter the Crucible. Please join us next week for our video.